Cool.
Because I wanted it to be recorded in history that the very first words I said at this new Hot Mondays open mic is,
"Holy shit, I didn't expect this many people." So, welcome, 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 folks. I am Jeff Archer Black. This is probably the last time I'll use my full name, because it's unnecessary and long, and my folks are goofy like that. What's that?
There's too many words.
Too many. We are here to have some fun here tonight. General rules are questionable at this point, since we have a smaller crowd so far. Next week, or the next odd Monday, calendar Mondays, by the way. So if 2 weeks from now, the Monday is an even calendar today, we ain't doing it. So odd calendar Mondays, we're going to do it up here because, well, I expect a little adult humor. Yeah, you never know. 10 minutes, crowd like tonight, you can do 10, 15 at the most, I guess. We'll play it by ear, see how it goes. There are no rules, you know, just respect for decency for other human beings in general would be appreciated, which you, none of you look like people that would say anything that make people go, "Oh shit, I'm not coming back here again, get me out of here." So, other than that, if you don't mind, I'm gonna, share. Thank you. That's the last thing I forgot to do. Oh, look at this. We are at the Fillmore West, babies. Speaking of names, I'm going to read one that goes way back. Let's see. Do we have enough light to read by here? Oh, I forgot my close-up glasses. Well, in case you're wondering who the hell I am. Oh, yeah, back in the early aughts, the first half of the early aughts, I co-hosted an open mic downtown at Jenna's. You were there. I don't know if you were there. Probably not. But we had a really good time. And then me and Jenny moved way away. And I've been waiting since 2011 when we first moved to Middleton. I've been waiting for this, something cool to happen here besides really bad Mexican restaurants. And then Adrian comes along. Let's hear for Adrian. Right on. This is a good thing, her coming here. So please keep coming back. So when she moved in, I was like, well, now is my chance. Let's do an open mic. So here we are. Yay. So anyway, this is something I have to work on. It's light for people to read by. It's a new one. No. I just need, I don't know what I need. I'll wing it. He's a man of many names. I've had many different names in my life, and I'm not sure why at the moment. Along the way, people have just given me names, and they stuck, or for some insane reason, perhaps it has to do with being a writer, I've coined a few of them myself. In middle school, it was Ree, R-E-E, zero clue as to where or why or how or who said it first, and I don't give a shit. In high school, it was Cholo, which was given to me by Steve Metz, or his name was Jello, Jello Biafra, if you're a punk fan, who was in my band Rat's Ass in high school. Cholo came from the punk rock band The Dickies. Little did we know what it meant in Southern California at the time. And then in college or trade school, I actually where I went to in Fort Lauderdale was tagged with the name Sid Malicious. Sid, at first, came from this asshole named Cody. I was still listening to a bunch of the punk rock real heavily at 18, 19 years old, and he was clueless about the music, so anything with an edge to it, to him, was acid rock. So he started calling me Acid, and somehow it got shortened to Sid, and of course came the onslaught of questions. Do you got any, man? Any acid? No. No. Jay, or Cheetah, or Junior, who's another friend of mine that I met there in school, he was the one who lengthened a name to Sid Malicious. And they tell me I was a wicked practical joker back in the day, although I don't really remember it because Cheetah was the one who turned me on to Jack Daniels. And I contemplating using the name Sid as my radio name, being I was in school for broadcasting at the time, and one of my teachers insisted that I did not use the name Sid. She said it made me sound like an old Jewish man. I told her, it's spelled S-Y-D, not S-I-D. And she said, people can't see spelling over the radio. So on my first real radio job, I was left without a name. We're talking 1986, 87. Moments before going on the air for the very first time ever, the program director was announcing me and turned around with a stunned look on his face, being he had no idea what name I was to use on the air. And in that moment, all I could think of was having a big glass of Jack Daniels and Coke. Calm my nerves, and out it came, Daniels, Jeff Daniels. And that stuck through the first leg of my radio career. The second leg came after some crazy life turns, and I wanted to leave Daniels behind, and that's when some woman told me that since I was a Sagittarian, that I should use Archer. And poof, I was suddenly Jeff Archer. That stuck through the second leg of my radio career until I officially retired from radio. Long story on that one, we'll skip that. During the second leg, I began writing with serious intentions. My pen name started as Jeff Archer. Then it switched to Jeff Goodrock. And then on the guy that does voices on The Simpsons, Hank Azaria, I saw the name and Azaria while I was baked one night watching the show, and I said, let me take the I out of there. And I became Archer Azaria. Then Jeff Azaria. But everybody who saw the name on paper wanted to pronounce the A-R in the center like car instead of air. So I tried putting a little dash over the A in the center to no avail. Then I heard the comment, Zara, that's funny, you don't look Mexican. Whatever. And then I got to the internet and found that Azaria, yeah, common Mexican surname, which I am obviously not. I'm one of them Swedes. Third leg of the radio career came, and my demo tape still claimed to be Jeff Archer. Archer had to go. Another banishing of the useless. I suggested to the program director that I wanted to use a different name, and I tossed out a couple at him. And he didn't like them, and hell, I might as well, I thought at the time, use the name that fits my personality, my lungs, my clothing color. Then boom, Jeff Black is born. Get over there. Guess I turn them fans off. Just when I think I've settled on my identity, I go to my local bar. One day, shortly after arriving in Madison from another state, I find NTN Buzz Time Trivia. I had to come up with a nickname for the game in order to play. Being I was a jazz music lover, I tried using J-A-Z-Z. Well, that was already taken, so I killed a Z. And then voila! I became known to all the regulars in the bowling alley bar across the street from where I lived as Jazz. And I still am. I don't bother to correct them. My bar tab still says Jazz. I'm the one that everybody dreads to compete with against on the music trivia games. All in all, I try to keep the name thing under control nowadays. I write under the name Jeff Archer Black. Radio, the works, or just Jeff Black. Well, I did cram Archer in the middle there, just for good measure. Through all this, I've been asked the question a few times, dude, why don't you just use your real name? My answer is as simple as this. No one would believe me if I told them my real name was Joe King. Really? And this is another flashback. The very first time I ever did an open mic reading was in Raleigh, North Carolina, in early 1999. And I knew I was going to do it, so I wrote this just because, well, it's what was going through my mind at the time, which is why we write poetry if you write poetry, right? Right? Right. It's called The Reading. Adjusting the microphone just right, I look up to see all of your eyes looking at me like the others I'm sure have done tonight, wondering, what do you see? And do you see of me what I saw of you moments ago? Or do you also transcend the sight such as I and fade into the words as they flow past your ears? And then I ask, what brings us here to be heard, hopefully felt? Do we have something to say that might lighten one's day, or is it all ego manifestation? I stop for a second, and I look out at you, then to my slightly trembling hand, which holds my perfectly typed pages. Nah. This is my heart and mind, which I wish to lay bare and endure your stare even for a couple of moments. Just like me, we all want to shine, even if it is only off the reflection of the surface of a cup of coffee or a beer. We come to these readings even for a fleeting moment for silence and attention with our love poems, our hate poems, our present and past fears, things we hold or once held dear. Debauchery, high on beer, the quickly passing years, and some tears, perhaps. But all in all, we come from a stock which cannot be silenced no matter how good or bad we sound, or how clearly our thoughts have been transcribed from brain to pen to paper. Young or old, we're more bold, and we always will be. For we are walking hearts on odd forms, live on a microphone, unashamed. So read on, write on, my friends, fearlessly in the face of those who may criticize. For you, me, we have something they don't, a working mind and the dedication of time to use it artfully. Don't you see? That's it. Yeah, let's do this one. I'm going to wait until the conversation is over here. Yeah, I know. That's what I'm waiting. Oh, we were just enjoying your performance art there. Yeah, we'll do that some night, just for the hell of it. Yeah, all right. This is actually something new called pinballing. Some mornings, winter mornings currently, when all's blue and white, the tiny seed thought poem gets gently placed from three curved fingers into what is hoped to be a fertile ground. And it's a good seed. Could grow to be a really tall thing like a sunflower. But then as pen is pulled to fingers, the seed suddenly finds a handful of other seeds and other non sequitur ideas crowding up in the slight palm sweat. What momentarily cool is that a little rush of, whoa, multi-ball frenzy, I can score so many points right now. All the while, the first silver orb is attempted to have my eye kept on it. But holy squirrel shit, all those balls. It's a full-on flipper front to protect all the balls from getting past and out of sight. Oh, there's the original ball and the ding-a-ding-dunk, ding-ding-ding-ding, ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding between three bouncer spring pods and yet poised to bip it into the little monster score box up at the little silver ramp up to the right. I could get it. That one will assure a free play. Then, ding, ding, ping, thunk. That first and now last orb fucker screams perfectly clean between the very tip of both flippers. Heh. And I wonder why I can't get shit writ. It happens. Since about last June, I've been working on this gigantic poem project on turning 50, because I just turned 50 last December. And it's just, I have all these, but I couldn't figure out a way to piece them all together, because just something was missing. And you will discover what was missing that makes it all available for reading now. This is officially On Turning 50 from Sunday. On Turning 50. Let's see. How many years have I been penning these birthday poems? Since I turned 35? 15 years ago? Indeed. And what's different about this one? Well, everything. One could ask, how could that be? Another could answer, well, simple. Look at the empirical evidence, Goofy. Setting aside spying the bright red spring cardinal out the window, I am finally at peace. As close as I think is possible for a perennial malcontent as I, and I'll take it. The Buddha and I have been hanging tight for quite some time now. All the pain throughout my lemon law body has been completely lifted. Okay, yeah, that one's complete bullshit. But being able to laugh about it all is a welcome addition to the arsenal of counterattack coping abilities. But the most distinguished alteration is the renewal of lost initiative. In the past 9 months, the former has become so, along with the choice to begin my own Odd Calendar to Mondays open mic. Me, as host, my rules, of which there are very few. Fucking ain't right. The dedicated time it's taken to make all of that manifest itself is pretty much unprecedented for me. The impetus of turning 50 was what put the sparking fire under my ass. This unfamiliar feeling of, oh crap, if I don't do this now, it's likely I never will, because, well, who knows how long I have. You're welcome, Mark Maron. That impetus also demanded, and I responded with
concerted activity to locate and contact my birth mother. Yes, and I did. And how happy I am about this. She turned out to be as messed up as I, albeit, and most importantly, as cool as I, beyond our chaoses. Well, these things are important. But most of all, it's the sense of peace to take my essence from a complete to only a little bit of a fuck up at life. I can work with this, and I will. Peace, wash my being, help me keep seeing over the fence in the backyard of my own self-destruction. Since it's springtime, oh boy, this is going to be a tricky one to read without ever having read it before, but I don't care. Anybody care?
No?
No? Yeah, good. All hail, King and Queen Equinox. In my life's windshield rear view, after a few taps of squaring it up, I think of summer and how during the summers I have many a time thought of the middle of winter, January, February, the coldest ones, and subsequently thought, holy frozen farts of flying, how have I survived that kind of cold and dreariness through all the years I've lived in the upper Midwest of the States? But then here I sit deep in the middle of January, and there's already been one polar vortex squeezed from Canada's keister on us. And round two is starting as I scribble at it. And you know, I'm told by plenty who were my age 25 years ago that the older you get, the less I can handle the cold. I, on the other hand, am the opposite. The older I get, the more I tolerate it. Granted, when it gets around 0 degrees, it can get prickly, but that's what dressing to the occasion is for. With that said, sitting here in said polar vortex, I look out at the summers and say to myself, holy fucking flame-throwing farts! How do I manage to get through the crazy hot summers? Even worse now, thanks to the crazy climate change. It's my personal meteorological dichotomy. Truth is, given choice, I'll take 5 Fahrenheit with 10% air moisture over 85 degrees with 95% humidity any day of the week. One can only legally take off so much clothing publicly, but there's no limit to how much you can put on. All in all, it's Mama Nature. No creature can control her, so why sweat her extremes? But still, in my ideal Shangri-La, the months around the equinoxes year-round would be pure perennial pleasure. 69 Fahrenheit has always been and shall always stand as the perfect temperature. Asterisk. Rest your head and eyes, my little furry Beelzebuzz. That's my cat. And yes, this is one of the things that makes the hard cold of January and February worth their weight in high atmospheric pressure. The fact that in this season, you willfully put yourself curled up tight to your fuzzy blanket-covered and smiling monkeys makes the oncoming umpteenth blizzard something to further grin upon. So come on, Mama N. in parentheses again, sung to Pat Benatar, hit me with your best shot. Hit me with your best shot. Anyway, that's that. We'll do this. I need my close-up glasses. All right. I think Barbara said, no, I'm not going to get political. Right? Somebody did. Well, I may. Let's see. Because I know this one needs to be read fast. I'm going to curve the edge of the page so I can go, bam, right to it. This is called Dead Meat. America, the world, 2018. We the people are in one hell of a pickle. We're surrounded by thieves. We have the withouts, who prey on old people on the phone, who will pick your pocket, who will devise, who have devices to skim your debit card number and go shopping. Who will break into your home and take whatever to resell later, whenever. And then we have the have-alls. This includes nearly every politician, greedy, heartless corporations, insurance hounds who profit more from your illness and death, short-sighted fuel fiends who fight against realistic and non-deleterious power, all of the Wall Street shit people, conscienceless banks who profit by selling your ass down the river. If humans can imagine a way to gain with no effort from themselves, you can bet your ass they will. Don't forget, my friends, crime does indeed pay. And that leaves the rest of us. We the people, we the honest, put the days in, workers, we who idealize a more just society, we who just want to be left alone, we who abhor the greed of the completely and utterly unworthy. We the people have thieves above us and thieves below us, and we are the dead meat being cooked out between. This, as human traits go, has always been so, will always be so. But don't worry. Soon, oh soon, the light. The greediest and most myopic will make it all better. And oh boy, will it be a blast. An opening salvo. My belly flies are going nutso gonzo at the moment. This is entirely a good thing. To the instigator of a good gathering, like and unlike minded folks, all in one upstairs room, bonded in a pact of collective creativity, I welcome the challenge. The guts it takes for a 50-year-old anti-elegant geezer to make something new, something fun, something thought-provoking, something happy buzzing for all involved, whatever your buzz of choice is. Thankfully, somewhere, a peaceable gathering can be comforted in a world done, gone, slightly mad. Let the rest of the world go psycho-wongo. We are here. We are now. We are going to have a fucking blast. You ready? Yay! Well, you got to clap louder than that. And shut the door, Mama. Earth, It is not ours, humans. We are hers. Don't carelessly mess with the mother. Obviously, she can be a bitch when we disobey. Try it. Oh, yeah, humans are. You didn't make the bed. But if you go and piss the bed, children, well, Mama has larger hands, and there's that big pool in the backyard and all. She can hold misbehaving heads underneath the surface without thinking twice. Take a deep breath, y'all. All right. Perpetual TikTokery. It's split in a perpetual TikTokery between 49 and 51%-ish, with parts of me that does give a shit and doesn't give a shit at random intervals. The 49-51 thing, what does that mean? There's a part of me that when I give a shit, I don't give a shit about not giving a shit, or when I don't give a shit, not giving a shit about giving a shit. Ay, 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 meh, who gives a shit? Oh, well, thank you. That is the ultimate compliment. This came to me one night. I was sitting on the couch, obviously loaded, watching something funny. And the thought just came to mind. And I grabbed my little voice recorder. And this is typed up verbatim off of what I just said. Blah, blah, blah. Occasionally, that happens. And it turns out to be okay. Oh, hell. Can't go wrong with one of these poems here. Greetings from the fart zone. Seriously. I guess this is one that I wrote at the very end of the night. Late last end done for blowout of ink. Gatto on footrest, tail twitching just over top of book. Me mate just now out. And I shall... join her soon. As soon as I cut me one last fart on me gato, or a cat. Not that I intend to fart on my cat. It's just that he's right there. He don't care really. But, and there's always a but, the fart went away. Just went an inward rumble. You're welcome, Buzzcat. And I'm sorry, my Jenny, since, well, you know, what holds around blows around, awake or not. Okay, Buzz, let's both go to bed. Then you can ignore both of our farts simultaneously. Or, well, not. He's too happy and snooze for me to move him to the bed from the couch with a clear conscience. Which one of these do I want to do first? I'm going to do that one last. Wow, I put these in really good order here tonight. This is a poem about writer's blank. I hate to call it writer's block. Hey, Frank. Okay. I do the same thing. I just didn't know you did what I do. Just sit there and listen and focus. Yeah, writer's block is a stupid phrase. I like writer's blank because it is blank. It's not a block. There's not a block in front of me. I don't have to walk a block to find a pen. Why the hell is it? Okay, really. cue guitar solo? What the hell happened in the late 1990s and early 20-aughts? Just actively listened to Vapor Trails from Rush. Since I tonight finished my third life-affirming read of Neil Peart's Ghost Rider book. They kind of have to go like that, it seems to me. But upon the wash of volume, even with the still kind of funky remixed or remastered version, I was desperately looking, listening for musicality, which to me means amazing musicians playing amazing instruments in a way that perpetuates the musicianship. But on Vapor Trails by Rush, Lurkst does not play proper guitar solo at all. Yeah, early on, Getty does lay down some cool riffs, but 'tis not enough for a Rush fan. Granted, this album was created 13 years ago now. Parenthetical interlude insert. I also recall around this same time, 20-01, 02, that Metallica put out Saint Anger. Again, zero guitar solos. And I've read that that was with full intent by Metallica. I ask, why? Were the 70s solos too much? The whammy bar solos of the 80s? Who and at what point in music history did some dumb cock say, guitar solos are not cool anymore? I'm serious. What the hell's the point of a guitar without showing your stuff off at the proper place in a song? A keyboard could sound just like the same boring rhythm guitar that's only making filler noise. Oh, wait, yeah, that was Rush in the later 80s. Now that I think about it, I'd have to re-listen to every Rush album post-Signals to hear if a solo by Lurkst exists. And well, I'm a bit lazy for that there endeavor. Mirror? Guilty as assumed with my own paper axe lately.
I told you.
That's what happens when you can't write anything. You write shit like that. When I do, I can't even do this with my hand. When I do that, that's a question mark. The perpetual.
To wet your whistle.
Because I believe this one's supposed to cook. All right. I am a mumble, a jumble, mental mumble jumble, been there. Where you know you have a free day, unpaid free day, but still free and in that parameter, simply cannot decide between, fuck off or force ahead. Well, it's always best in these little existential tests to look at the foundation. What and which is the absolute zero level of needs to be met? Methinks in days like these, rainy clouds or sunny blue, I find that absolute zero and heat it up for persistence's sake. Choice, do absolutely zero or something. Seems to me, with all my years of practice of absolute both, the latter always wraps up in a much more livable package when all's said, activated, and done. Pardon me. So I get up and I go look at the cat, still sat, which looks real comfortable. Aye, that looks like the perfect plan. Huh? A voice from the air speaks. Another excuse? says it. I reply, well, yeah, I'll get there, voice, right after I write you out of existence. Done. What? Ooh. Oh.
Was that?
Was the burp part of the poem?
No. It very well could have been.
All right, that's that.
Grammar. Goddamn, people. That's the name of it. Stumbled onto a band circa 2015 called Peace. Okay? I liked the song that put me onto them. So, as you do in 2017, to see if you dig them enough to buy their new album, I went to YouTube to listen beyond that 1998 song that they had. That's what it was called. One song plays, then as you're subjected on the YouTube nowadays, a commercial came on. Basically, it was a computer program that aids, corrects, suggests, and seemingly dictates proper grammar. Yeah, really? Naturally aimed at folks 30 and under, of course. I recoil at such a thing. What? You don't know or haven't been taught how to use proper and or your own style of wording to write? Are you fucking kidding me? Oh boy, did the autocorrect shit it short on that one right there. Well, apparently so, according to said sad commercial. Here, let us programmers put the proper words in your fingers. Hank was right 20, even 30 years ago when he wrote one of my favorite poems of his called Art. Look it up on your mind screen, Bukowski. Form is not only the lowest common denominator of shitty writers, it's even its own software program now. Grammar be damned. Along with originality, heart, individual mind, one of a kind, since you and I are the only me and you that there is in this existence. But this grammar program will sell well since it seems it's all been said and written anyway, right? Well, no, not quite yet. Oh, I have to read this one first. This is our not quite your flagamon arty fart stuff yet. Some of as are still making shit up like that crazy master baker and his nuts and crazy crap cookies from the neighborhood. Ooh la oink. All right, real quick one here. LLPH. I'm not sure what the hell those letters mean, but I guess we'll find out once I get into the, oh, life. Okay, I see. And then on NPR, I just heard the question posed, where is the real America? Well, I'll tell you. The real America is people who want to be left the hell alone to just live their lives out, to do their jobs and be able to pay the bills without the terrorizing panic of, ah, shit. There's not enough. Always. They only want DC to defend the Constitution and leave us to actually have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Not just feel like it. We don't want to be steamrolled by some weak pissant obnoxioso man-child doing nothing but drawing attention to his thin-skinned self or having a malfunctioning corporate fascist state for we, the fucking people. Bah, humbug. Get it?
corporate overlords, over-underlords? If America was great again, it would find where all the sell-you-down-the-river folks live and begin to eliminate the cancer via the good old bullet or the ballot box. The latter, preferably. Goddamn NPR, get me all riled up, and on a church day, nonetheless.